Good morning. Welcome to Fireside Fellowship. My name is Ralton Emery. I'm one of the pastors here. Thank you so much for being here with us this morning during this Advent season. We look forward to the celebration of the coming of the King. And we look forward at this point in history at his coming back, but we're going to study about his coming the first time. A couple of things here at Fireside. We always want to lift up and glorify the name of Jesus. We do that in several different ways. We've already done that in song. We do that in fellowship. We also do that in the partaking of the Lord's Supper every once in a while. We're going to do that in a couple weeks. But we also always, always, always do that through the study of God's Word. God gave us His Word as a guide. He gave us His Word to know Him, and that's what we hope to do through the preaching of His Word. And we're going to do that each and every Sunday. We thank you for joining us. A couple of things. We've been on a series, a very short series called The Pathway to Christmas. It will come to the finish line next week. We're going to look at the nativity scene from God's point of view. The nativity scene from God's point of view, and that will be from John chapter 1. And that's next week. The following week, we're going to do kind of our year-end wrap-up service and looking forward to what's coming. We're going to take communion that day on the 31st. I don't think there's a better way to focus ourselves on our mission than looking at Acts chapter 20, verse 24, and that will be the text for the 31st if you want to be reading ahead. Also, coming in January, I've challenged the church, and I want to explain just a little bit, but there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And just so happens there's 31 days in January. And so as a church, what I would like us to do is every day, starting January 1st, read one chapter of the book of Proverbs. Now, why do I say that? Well, the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom, right? It's practical theology. It's theology in foot leather, if you will. And so what better way to start the year than reading about how wisdom is to guide our lives? And so for the first month of the year, I want us as a church to focus on the book of Proverbs during our daily devotions. And so during, we're not going to have little check boxes. We're not going to do any of that because it's pretty simple. Day one, read chapter one. Day two, read chapter two. You don't have to keep track of a lot of stuff, right? But I think it will be a blessing to you as you read through the book of Proverbs. What I would ask for you is to just jot down some notes about what you learn and just keep that handy in your Bible. That way you can always reference back to it as you read. Our first series of the new year that we'll be preaching through will be called Thrive, and it's going to be from the book of Nehemiah. We are going to start the book of Nehemiah, which is an Old Testament book. I think it's going to be a really enjoyable study. So that's what we'll be doing on Sunday mornings. All minds clear? Did I get everything? I hope so. All right, Luke chapter 2. We're on the pathway to Christmas, and we're looking at the shepherd's pathway to praise this morning. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 2, a very familiar passage, one that we've heard countless times, I'm sure. But as we read it this morning, I pray that God will give us a fresh glimpse of His glory. Luke chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 8. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people He favors." When the angel had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph, and the baby was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, so many times we've heard this story, we've heard this passage preached, we've heard it taught, to the point where maybe we take it for granted, to the point where we know that we're supposed to celebrate Christmas, and we know that this passage is read multiple times, and we appreciate it, and we enjoy it. But it's not just a story, it's a miracle of you coming and dwelling among us. And dear Lord, may Christ himself, God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal encouragement and good hope by grace, encourage us this morning through this passage and strengthen us in every good work and word. So when we leave this place today, we can praise you as the shepherds did then. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So we have the Christmas story, if you will, and I hesitate calling it the Christmas story because it is an actual event. It is not a story. It's not make-believe. This is something that happened in history. And we're looking today at a specific group of people. Now, last week we looked at Mary and her pathway to joy. And we saw what happened in Luke chapter 1 when Jesus' birth was announced to her. And she had questions about how that would happen because there were no examples in Scripture of a virgin birth, right? There have been examples in Scripture of old people giving birth, like in the Old Testament. That's why Zechariah was given a judgment for doubting. But Mary asked this specific question, and it talked about the miracle that was Jesus' birth. And we're continuing that theme as we're heading toward this pathway to Christmas, toward the incarnation. We want to take a look at what happened that night when Jesus was born with the shepherds. Now, I would venture to say that in this day and age that we've idolized or stylized, if you will, shepherds. They're really cute most of the time in nativity scenes. If you look up here in this little block of wood, there's a nativity scene, and it's got the shepherds coming to the manger, and you've seen them in displays in various houses and places, and the shepherds are always nice and smiling and clean, which wasn't actually the case. A simple Google search of the shepherds of this time will tell you that the shepherds were the bottom rung of the Palestinian social ladder. Now, Jeff this morning actually corrected me a little bit, is what I'll say. He said that we're not sure that these shepherds were even Jewish. And I had not really thought about that, but that is the case. These could have been Gentile shepherds because it doesn't really say in the text. But either way, we do know that shepherds, whether Jews or Gentiles, were the bottom rung of the social order of the day. They were seen as second-class citizens. Now, they were seen as the same level as tax collectors. And if you've been around church any period of time, you've heard about the stories of how hated the tax collectors were. They were also seen on the same scale as prostitutes and those who are in that profession. They were seen as untrustworthy, unclean, because they were dealing with animals. So ceremonially, if they were Jews, they had to go through cleansing processes just to be able to worship. They were seen as not in the in crowd, right? And this makes sense because they were basically blue-collar people that worked outside all of the time. They had a hard job. They had a thankless job because they were just getting paid very small wages to watch other people's property and take care of them for them, you know, take care of the sheep. They had to deal with threats. They were had to deal with weather. They had to deal with, you know, wolves and things that would come against the flock. They had to carry sheep a lot of times because the sheep would try to run away, and they'd have to take one of their crooks and actually either grab the sheep or break its leg and carry it so it could get back with the flock so a predator wouldn't get that sheep. They had to carry stuff, and a lot of times their coat was their bedding. They slept outside. As the verse says, in the same region of Jesus' being born, were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch at night. So they had to work all the time. They were seen as people who wouldn't be at our Christmas parties. They were seen as individuals who we wouldn't associate with if we saw them on the street. They were seen as homeless a lot of times, if you will, because they were always out with the animals. So it begs the question, why would an angel come to this group of people? Because this is the last group of people that you would think would get an announcement about the birth of the king. This is the last group of people you would think that God would use to announce the coming of the Messiah, the Jewish deliverer, the one who is going to lead and be the prophet, priest, king. And yet this is exactly who we find. Ordinary people doing ordinary work, thought down of in society, thought down of in social circles, and yet God chose to make his announcement to them. So they were ordinary people, and they received an unexpected announcement. Unexpected announcement. Look back at verse 9. It says, then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this is a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angels praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. And the angels then left. So we have a group of ordinary people, socially unaccepted people, people who were outcasts. And they were given this unexpected message. God sent an angel to these shepherds. And just like we talked about last week, when an angel appears, not to harp on our little display here, but it's not nice. Like this one is, right? It's not the little Hallmark angels that you find in the store. When an angel appears, you get terrified. And it says, again, there's something extraordinary, something unexpected happening. Very few times in history do angels appear. And when they do, it's for a reason, right? We think about the Old Testament, we talk about the angels appearing here and there, but in the grand scheme of all of history, that only happens very, very few times. So when it happens, is for a reason and a purpose, and God has dispatched them for a specific reason, and He's dispatched this angel for a purpose to these shepherds, to these ordinary people. And the pronouncement of the gospel was first given to these shepherds by the angel. Look at what the angel says. Today, in verse 11, today in the city of David was born for you the Messiah, the Lord. This is the good news of Christmas, that the promised one, the coming one, the Messiah had arrived. But again, this unexpected announcement come to ordinary people. You would think if a king was coming that the announcement would come of the deliverer being to a king or someone in nobility or the rich or someone of social status. No, this announcement came to shepherds. Theologian Wayne Grudem states it this way, and I quote, "Though these words are familiar to us from the frequent reading of the Christmas story, we should realize how surprising it would be to any first century Jew to hear that someone born as a baby was the Christ, the Messiah. And moreover, that the one who was the Messiah was also the Lord. That is, the Lord God Himself." So these ordinary people are getting this unexpected, extraordinary announcement that the Messiah, the deliverer, had come. But not only had the Messiah come, but it was God Himself. And aside from the profound announcement, if that wasn't enough, God adds another layer when the angel announces the fact that these shepherds can find the deliverer, God Himself, as a baby. You would think again that this announcement would be the king has arrived, the Messiah has come, he's 33 years old and he's ready to take the throne. But the uniqueness of the message to the shepherds was the Messiah is born, and the sign to you is that you will find the Messiah, the Lord Himself, as a baby. You have ordinary people receiving an extraordinary announcement unexpectedly in the fields here in Palestine. The angels then demonstrated to the shepherds what all people should do when they hear the good news of the coming of Christ. They praised. Look here in verse 13. After the shepherds heard this announcement, it says, "Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angels, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people He favors.'" So this announcement, this pronouncement of the coming of the Messiah, the angels demonstrate and show the shepherds what they should do. Praise. They should sing. They should glorify. They should share this message. So you have ordinary people with an extraordinary announcement. And then you, just like last week when we saw Mary's obedience and how difficult her obedience was, we see the obedience of the shepherds. And it was immediate. Look in verse 15. "When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And seeing them, they reported the message which they were told about the child, and all who were there, or all who heard it, were amazed at what the shepherds had said. But Mary was treasuring up these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds were ordinary people. They got this extraordinary announcement and they had immediate obedience. The shepherds didn't wait to respond. The shepherds said, "We got to respond now. Let's go straight to the scene." They didn't put the story of what had happened to them on the Instagram. They didn't make a TikTok about it. They didn't wait around and say, "Hey, let's call the news media so we can become viral." Because something that had happened to them was, again, extraordinary. Only happened a few times in the history of the world. But they were obedient. And they ran as fast as they could. They made a beeline for Jesus as soon as the angels left. And this is something that we need to take into account today. When you hear the gospel message, when you hear the fact that the Savior has come, it's not just the fact that he's born as a baby in Bethlehem. It's the fact that the Messiah is here. We can praise, we can proclaim, we can respond. We should follow the examples of the shepherd. And when Jesus is calling to you, when you hear the gospel message, you need to respond immediately. I need to respond immediately. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 tells us, "For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I helped you." See, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't wait. When you hear the gospel message, when you know that you're a sinner and you need a Savior and you are ordinary like the shepherds and you can't save yourself, when you hear the message of Jesus proclaimed, respond accordingly. Respond quickly. Respond immediately. Psalm 95 verse 7 and 8 says, "Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." So the example of the shepherds that we see from Luke 2 is not just an idealistic birth of Christ. It's a response to the gospel. It's a response to the good news that the Messiah had come. So you have ordinary people responding to an extraordinary message, and they're doing it immediately, being very obedient. And once they see and they tell and they understand what they have seen, they praise. Look in verse 20. After they arrive, they tell what they had seen. Everyone was amazed. Verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and all the things which had been told to them. The shepherds left the scene praising God that they had seen the Messiah. But not just that they'd seen a baby. Because people see babies all the time. Right? We just celebrated the birthday of Eleanor. We celebrate babies all the time. It wasn't the fact that they saw the baby. It was the fact that what the angel told them was true. And they saw that God's word to them is true. That they found this baby wrapped in a manger in this cloth, which was a unique thing. They saw the fact that her mom and dad, or his mom and dad, was there. They saw the fact that they told the people about the angels and they didn't blow them off. "Oh, you're just ordinary people." No, they were amazed at this message because Mary knew, Joseph knew, those around them, I'm sure, knew the story of this baby being the one who was Christ, the Lord. And the shepherds didn't just have this otherworldly experience, and they were praising because of that. They were praising because they found the Messiah just as they were told. Those shepherds saw that God can be trusted. God's word can be trusted. God's word is truth. John 17:17 tells us. But they also knew that this was personal. Look back in verse 11. Two very important words. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. The example that God gives us in Scripture of the shepherds and on their pathway to praise is the fact that He is a personal Savior. He is someone who wants to have a relationship with each and every single one of us. It's not a vague call. God chooses to make His message known to everyone, but the call is personal because He knows you by name. And He chose ordinary shepherds because He is the good shepherd. He knows His sheep, and the sheep respond to His voice. So as we look at the shepherd's pathway to praise, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, understand that Christmas, while it's fun and it's the glitz and the glamour and all of this, we can't find true celebration unless we respond obediently to the gospel message the way the shepherds responded. Today is the day of salvation, and maybe you're listening to this either in the room or via the internet at a later time. My call to each and every single one of us is to respond the way the shepherds responded. Don't wait. Don't hold off, because today is the day of salvation. Don't harden your hearts, as Psalm says. He calls His children by name. His sheep know His voice. You may be one who maybe thought you were a Christian and you didn't understand the message. I would love to have that conversation with you. Maybe you just now come to realize that you need a Savior. I would love to have that conversation with you to show you from Scripture how you can know that you know that you know that you are saved. Let's pray. Your gracious Heavenly Father, You know our hearts. You know the congregation and those who are here. You know the ones who will be listening to this later. You know that each and every single one of us need a Savior. We need to respond the way these ordinary outcasts responded, the way the shepherds responded, because You're calling to Your sheep. You're calling to each and every single one of us to respond to the good news that the Messiah is born. And just like these shepherds understood when they saw that what the angels told them was true and how miraculous that message was, they responded in praise. They told the story. So maybe we're here this morning and we've known the story. We know You as Savior and Lord. And that message is one that we need to carry to others this season. To the despondent, to the disgraced, to the socially outcast. But those who we interact with in the neighborhood, in the nations, at the supermarket, around the world. I pray this morning that if there's anyone here who doesn't know you as Savior, that they will come to that knowledge today. The altar is open, and we just pray that if you need to make any decision, whether that be one of rededication or one of salvation, that you take advantage of this call today. We praise you and thank you, dear Lord, for what's happened in your word. We know it does not return void, for it's in Christ's name. Amen.